Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which of the four top seeds in the 2019 NCAA tournament bracket will be the first to drop out, to trip and fall flat on its face, to break a heel on the dance floor and be kicked out of the competition? We've got the poll up. In fact, I'll retweet now, but A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. And while you're there, join the After Hours Bracket Challenge. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's our big blowout that we always do following Selection Sunday. And we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you miss any of our interviews, like Gonzaga sophomore forward Corey Kispert, who joined us earlier in the show from Spokane. And then in our final hour, we'll have a chance to talk to Liberty Flames head coach Richie McKay, the 12 seed for Liberty out of the Atlantic Sun. So that's coming up next hour. Or our guest here in studio that you'll hear from momentarily. Everything will be part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, and that's updated every weekday morning. It is always fun to have a blank bracket in front of you. We have a blank bracket. But guys like Jerry Palm, CBS Sports bracketologist, has been fooling around with brackets for months because that's his job. So it's always fun to do our annual visit with Jerry once we get through Selection Sunday. And Jerry, the first question I always ask you, thanks so much for being here. The first question I always want to know is, how does your final bracket look?
Well, I missed one team. I missed Belmont.
You missed one out of 68?
Yes, I missed Belmont. I had TCU instead. And there was a case for Belmont, but all of the teams that, as it worked out, all of the teams that I left out all had something significantly negative about them that normally would be a deal breaker for the committee. And for Belmont, it was strength of schedule and a couple of bad losses to go along with it. And I had TCU in because while they had negatives, they didn't have anything that would normally be something like that. But, you know, TCU could just have easily been left out, and they were, and they have only themselves to blame because they didn't get the kinds of wins that they needed to get to impress the committee. And that's, you know, it's a tough job at the bottom of that bracket. The first team that the committee left out was North Carolina Greensboro, and that was actually the team I took out of my bracket when Oregon won last night, or on Saturday night.
Bracket buster, for sure.
Yes, yeah.
Did you happen to see the statement from the NC State ADWL?
No, I didn't. But
so she points to net and talks about how there's supposed to be this new category that really, I guess, defines the quad one and quad two wins,
right?
And that North Carolina State was 8-9 in
she's
games against those types. Right. So she puts out this whole statement.
Yeah.
How far out was the Wolfpack?
At least four. Because they gave us the four that were the first four out because those teams become the top seeds in the NIT. And it was TCU and Greensboro and Indiana. I forget the fourth off the top of my head, but it was NC State was not part of that either. So it was they were beyond
Alabama.
That level of out. Oh, thank you. Yes, Alabama. So, yeah, they were beyond that level of out. And, you know, NC State had the classic NIT resume. They had the worst non-conference schedule in all of Division I. I mean, 353 out of 353. You almost have to try to have a non-conference schedule that bad. And they played Auburn and Wisconsin. So it's not like they played nobody, but they went out and they got the worst teams money could buy and played them, and they end up, and teams get left out for this almost every year. And it is the most consistent indicator for a bubble team to get left out is a poor non-conference schedule. But usually it's like 271. Or, yeah, I mean, they're almost 100 points lower than their spots lower than that in that ranking. Their overall strength of schedule was 183 for a major conference team in the last, well, since they changed the RPI formula in 2006, the worst major conference team strength of schedule was Purdue in 2008. They were 108. NC State was 183. You have to beat the Dukes and the Carolinas of the world if you are going to erase that stain on your resume. And you can, but you have to be way into the bracket. If you're around the cut line, you're way gone. And that's what happened to them. And if they didn't know it, they aren't paying attention because it happens all the time.
It's our annual Selection Sunday visit with Jerry Palm. CBS Sports spent, the last 11 days doing CBS Sports HQ and Big CBS, and now the brackets are done. How are you feeling? Are you exhausted?
Yeah, it's tiring. 11 days away from home is long. I haven't been that long away from home since a two-week vacation in Europe that would have preceded children.
This is not the same.
So, to say the least, and my oldest is 21, so we're talking almost 25 years since I've been gone from home this long. And yeah, I had to pack a lot of dress clothes that I didn't really need in Europe, and I had to do laundry here.
Okay, that is how you know that you've been away from home for too long. So the bracket is now done. It's out, and I'm interested to know how you believe this new formula, they call it the net, impacted the bracket, if at all.
Well, they said that they were going to use the net the same way they use the RPI, which is to define the quadrants being essentially the quality of your games. So quadrant one is your toughest game. There's a home and road aspect to it and the rankings. And then quadrants two, three, and four. And so that's what Kay Yao was talking about, the new net for the quadrants. Well, North Carolina State would have been 95th in the RPI if they were still using it. You're not even getting looked at 95. They were 33 in the net. And the biggest difference between the net and the RPI is margin of victory. That net has an uncapped margin of victory. It's the second most important component. So North Carolina State plays a bunch of lousy teams, but they beat the snot out of them. They won by an average of 25 points a game against those teams. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of mitigate a bad schedule that way. But the committee's not going to be fooled. They're going to see 8, 9, 10 teams at the bottom of quadrant four, not just in quadrant four, but among the worst teams in quadrant four on your resume, and it becomes obvious. But the net alone, just like the RPI alone, does not get you in or out. It doesn't get you seeded. We had three major conference schools in the top 40 of the net not get in the tournament: NC State, Clemson, and Texas. Texas was 16-16. I mean, that's bowl eligible, but it's not tournament eligible, and Clemson was 1-10, I think, 1-9, 1-10 against quadrant one, and that's usually not good enough. And NC State had the strength of schedule, and so those things eliminated them. But if you go back to 2006, when they changed the RPI formula to include home and road, the worst major conference ranking for a team left out was, or the best, I should say, was Cincinnati at 40. And so we already have had three major conference schools left out in the new net era.
Interesting.
With better rankings than that.
How much jostling was there among the ones and the twos over the last week and a half?
Quite a bit, really. I mean, it was going into championship weeks, Virginia and Carolina and Kentucky and Gonzaga were ones, and then Gonzaga loses.
So this is pre-Zion coming back to Duke.
Yeah, and it's before Gonzaga's tournament, so even the week before.
Got it.
So then Zion comes back. The Duke wins the ACC. They're so much better with him that they end up jumping all the way to the top. Kentucky loses in the SEC tournament. Carolina does too, but they still, a 1-point loss or 2-point loss to Duke, and they're right there, still on the top line. Virginia loses, but they were so far ahead that they were still going to be a one. So now you've got three ACC teams in Gonzaga, and had Tennessee won today, we were told by the committee that they would have taken Gonzaga's spot. So we would have had even more movement had Tennessee won today.
Interesting. I thought that this was something that the chair, Bernard Muir, pointed out that fascinated me. A third of the conferences, so he said 11 of the 32 conferences in Division One ended up with multiple teams in the field, which is more than what they normally had.
Yes, that would be true. Part of that is due to tournament upsets, like in the Atlantic 10. Had VCU won the tournament, it would have been a one big league, but that didn't happen. Oregon ended up taking a bid from the Pac. Now, that was going to be a multi-bid league anyway. Belmont and Murray State, both from the Ohio Valley, in the tournament this year. So, yeah, it does seem to be a relatively high number of multiple bid conferences, and it's partly just because it worked out that way, and it's partly because you're starting to see maybe a little disbursement in the quality.
Jerry Palm with us in studio from CBS Sports and our bracketologist. And all these questions you're answering without even looking at your bracket. So that's kind of fun. Anything? I know I saw this question asked of you on TV. And you said, it's my job not to be surprised.
That's pretty much true.
I know. But maybe one thing that you didn't agree with the committee.
Well, I'm really picking nits, but I thought they were a little harsh with Cincinnati on their seed. They were a 7 seed. I thought they could have been a couple lines higher, especially after winning the American Conference Championship. And one of the myths of selections Sunday is that the committee doesn't take the Sunday games into account. But they definitely were. I mean, Tennessee was jumping if they had won. I mean, Michigan State moved up because they had won. I mean, they had 12 brackets to account for different possibilities for these
six
games.
And I thought you did a lot of brackets.
I do. but I didn't do 12 today. I just kind of went with the flow. But they had 12 ready to go and then just throw them out as the results, you know, indicate.
Wow.
But so Cincinnati, though, is a 7 seed. It felt kind of harsh. Like they should have probably been higher, maybe even 2 seeds higher. However, they get to play in Columbus, Ohio. What is that? Like maybe an hour and a half drive from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll be close to home. I personally, if I'm a coach, I'd rather be a 7 in, you know, an hour and a half from home than a 6 two time zones away.
Yeah, no, agreed. The travel. Something else that stood out to me was the fact that Villanova, even though they're Big East champs, I know the defending champ part has something to do with it,
correct,
but they ended up as a 6 seed.
Yeah, well, because they had an up and down kind of year.
They did.
Just like the entire Big East. I mean, the Big East was like a 10-car NASCAR wreck, you know, and then the winner was going to be whoever had the best duct tape and spare tires, you know, could limp that thing home. And that ended up being Villanova this year. Marquette had a better non-conference performance, and so they actually ended up seeded as a 5, a little bit higher. But, you know, it was at that kind of a year in the Big East. Mm-hmm. Literally, going into that conference tournament, you would think that anybody could legitimately have won that tournament. Turned out to be Villanova anyway. But and then, of course, I'm paying special attention to Villanova now because if Purdue wins, we could get Villanova in game 2.
Jerry is wearing a Purdue Boilermakers sweatshirt that's, of course, his alma mater. And you were a band geek.
I was.
And I say that with all the affection.
I actually still am a band geek. I'm just a much out-of-practice band geek.
Do you get a relief when this part at least is over?
Yeah, a little
bit. Selection Sunday is done.
You know, the hard grind for me is over, and I get to really enjoy the tournament. And even though I go out on the road, like I will be in Columbus for the first and second rounds, mm-hmm. And then in Minnesota for the Final Four. That's not the grind that everything else is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not answering the same questions over and over. And
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. I'm just saying that, you know, and I'm not getting calls from coaches, and I'm not getting that kind of, it's like 24/7, I'm taking naps instead of sleeping kind of schedule. You know, I can have there's some more normalcy in my life at that time. And then, you know, once the Final Four is over, then it's like running into a wall. It's like disorienting because then the phone completely stops. And
I'll call you, Jerry. You don't feel completely disoriented.
That's when I get to do my taxes and then finally take a nap.
Woo! At JP Palm CBS, always nice to have you in studio. It's our annual treat. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's good to be here. Always good to be here.
I can't even fathom putting together a bracket in which you only have one team that's missing. But that's Jerry. And he used to get upset. but not anymore. One team is perfectly within the margin for error. So that's cool. We always enjoy having Jerry here in studio. But he has to go get your plane. Bye, Jerry. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, fine, procrastinate, but if you miss the window, it's not my fault. 855-212-4227. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Monday morning to you if you're just waking up. CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.